Hey, everybody, it's Andy. Welcome back to the North Point Community Church podcast. Hey, at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our free North Point app where you can access all of our recent message content. And actually, the app is the easiest way to share all this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around here at North Point. But most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Well, I know that a lot of you think you have the best job in the world. I know that there are Chick-fil-A operators in here, and that's a little bit like working in heaven, so I get it. That's really awesome. But I know there's probably athletes watching, you know, and you get to play for your job, which is awesome, and business owners, and there's some of you that have amazing jobs in this room. I know that you think your job is the best. I can just tell you that I feel really, really blessed that I get to work with groups like this to help shape an environment that directs them and helps them become the people that God wants them to be. That having been said, I love to speak to adults for two reasons. Number one, crowd control. I don't have to shush you guys at all. The whole time, you're very polite. Thank you. I appreciate it. And nobody's kissing on the back wall back there that I know, that I can see anyway. It's further back than normal. But you remember that in high school? You just wanted to kiss somebody. If church was your opportunity, you were going to take it, you know, like, this is where it's going down, you know. So maybe some of you are still there, you know, you're still there, that season of life. If that's you this morning and you feel like this is the time and place, you know, I'm used to it, so knock yourself out, that's fine. Second reason is I don't have to learn a new language to be relevant with all of you, you know, students that are in the room. You know, I don't want to throw shade on you, but I don't want to be extra, but, you know, I'm not as woke as you think I am. You know, and dope used to be something else, by the way. BT dubs. Still, I do want to know, is it Yanni or Yanny? Because we know it's not Laurel, right? Am I right? Who's with me? No, I don't even know what that is. No, it's great. Talking to all of you is great because I can talk about Atari and MacGyver, and you guys are with me on all of that. So thank you for being my age. Still, at the same time, you all are awesome, and so I get nervous all week long, you know, like my hands, my palms are moist all week, my armpits are like just dripping, and I don't sleep all week, so I'm very nervous all the time. So thank you for being, you know, good listeners and paying attention. I really do appreciate it. And when I was told this was going to be about the grass is always greener, I, of course, thought about my neighbor Joe, who he and his wife attend our church, and his lawn is it's amazing. I mean, I drive past it all the time. I'm looking at it. I'm like jealous, you know. My wife's in the car with me. She's like, look at Joe's lawn. It looks nice. I'm like, okay, all right. No, I'm actually more jealous than she is. But, you know, I hate him so much, but I really shouldn't, you know. I just hate him. Like, no, he's great. But I shouldn't be so jealous of him, but I am, you know. Like, in my best state, I should be like, hey, Joe, what do you do to make it that amazing? And then, you know, I could go do that with mine. You know, like sometimes we do that well. You know, we see somebody who's, you know, really fit. And you're like, you look good. What do you eat? You know, and so we try that. But most of the time we just walk around salty. That means upset that that people have it better than us. That there's something we are missing in our lives that we wish that we had. That there was, we kind of wish we had more of a lot of different things. Isn't it true for most of us, for me, I know, that there's always more that we're looking for? There's always more that we're looking for. Like, what else do I need? I need something else. I need to improve in some way. And we think we have some places that we know we could probably find it, you know? In fact, did you guys see recently what Justin Bieber said? Now, I don't know how you feel about Justin. We're in Atlanta, so some of you might know him. I'm calling him Justin like I'm on a first name basis. I'm not. I don't know him. But if I did, that'd be awesome. But I like him. I like him a lot. I bet it would have been very difficult to become that famous that fast, though I'd love to know what it's like. I bet it would have been very difficult to do that. And yet the other day he said something that just kind of blew up. He said this on the gram. He said, hey world, that glamorous lifestyle you see portrayed by famous people on Instagram, don't be fooled thinking their life is better than yours. I can promise you it's not. He got lit up for that. I mean, people were like, Who do you think you are? Look at everything you have. I mean, you have it all, bro. You have everything you could possibly want. Look at my life compared to your life. There's no way that you can't have a better life having everything that you have. That's impossible. Like, people were kind of saying this is what they were saying. They were saying, because you have a lot, you can't have it bad. That if you have a lot, it can't be bad. You cannot have it bad if you have that much stuff. And yet I think Bieber's onto something. I think he is exactly correct. Here's a guy who has gathered as much in the have category as you probably can. I mean, there's not a whole lot more that he could get, you know? I mean, good for him. There's not a whole lot. He's kind of maxed out the have category. And yet at the end of it all, here's what he's saying. He's saying, hey guys, I have a lot, but having does not satisfy. Having doesn't satisfy. It hasn't satisfied yet. And all those people that you see that have a lot that you think they're satisfied, the having is not satisfying. What he's saying is there's deeper questions to life. There's more to life than just all this having. And when it comes down to it, honestly, stuff ain't enough. Stuff ain't enough. You can't do it. And we've heard all this before. I mean, you guys have heard this before. You've heard, you know, you've maybe said to yourself, I've said to myself, you know, money can't buy you happiness. That's what people without money say. Money can't buy you happiness. And stuff won't make you happy. But I don't know if we even believe, I don't know if I believe that. Honestly, because I like new stuff. I like new clothes. I like new shoes. My wife, every time I go to the shoe store, I'm like, I should get these. She's like, do you really need more shoes? I'm the shoe person in our family. Shockingly. But I am. I love shoes. I love new car smell. Anybody with me on that? I love when the Amazon box shows up on our doorstep. I'm like, birthday party today, what do we get? I got something, you know? Like, I love the box showing up at my door. I love new stuff. Students who are in the room, you love the new iPhone. You have bugged your parents mercilessly about that phone. You love having the Beats and having the shoes and having the look because it's new and because you want to stay with everybody else. We like new stuff, and we're just, you know, we're just excited about it, you know? I was reading this book called The More of Less, Finding the Life You Want Under Everything You Own. It's a really good book. And the author was saying that we see over 5,000 ads a day telling us to buy more stuff. So that in our homes now, we average more TVs than people. That 10% of all households rent extra outside storage space to keep their excess stuff in. It's one of the fastest growing industries in the home industry. And that 25% of people with two-car garages can't get one car in them. That's me. That's me. I was reading this stuff, and I was thinking about this week, and I honestly set out, and I was like, I want to give, you know, the church something they can really get their arms around, help the people of our church. The more I read, the more I was concerned about me. I was like, I don't think I believe what I'm saying. Like, I have always said money can't buy you happiness, and I'm looking around at all my stuff, and I'm going, but maybe I think that maybe it will. Like, if I get the right stuff in the right way at the right time, maybe I will get to this place where I am kind of happy with what I've got. Now, before you're squirming in your seat right now and you're thinking to yourself, I hate this message. This guy's an idiot. You know, like, and you're like doing your, cleaning out your closets in your head and you're doing your Goodwill run. You're like, we got to have a garage sale, honey. You know, like, you know, and you start thinking, I'm not going to launch into a like, hey, listen, rich Americans, sell all your stuff. Get rid of it. You're a bunch of hoarders. Now stop it. You know, that's not where we're going today, okay? So relax, you know. But all I'm saying is, all I'm kind of trying to bring up this morning is, isn't it true that we are inundated with this message that our contentment is tied to what we have? Our contentment in life is tied to what we have, what we possess. Now maybe we say we don't believe that, but then we get hit with it so much that we start kind of thinking that, yeah, maybe I will be happier and more content and more satisfied if I have some of the things that I'm being told I'm supposed to have because everybody else seems to have them and they seem to be happy as I watch their lives unfold. And so that's the tension I want to wrestle with for just a minute. And it's not just stuff, is it? It's kind of every category of life. I made a chart that we can take a look at. You know, we kind of look at our lives. I look at my life like this, like in the looks category, you know, like maybe I'm like a 5 out of 10. Yesterday was the first day of the pool opening at our pool. And I was like, I'm going to have to take my shirt off. And as I went to the pool and I kind of looked around, I thought, I wish I'd have worked a little harder this winter. You know, like I wish had a little less pizza with the students every week, you know, like, and you know, it's bathing suit shopping season, you know, ladies. And so I know sometimes you feel like, you know, this doesn't look good on me, but it looked good in the magazine. I don't like that so-and-so who this does look good on. You know, I wish I had a better body than I do have. You know, we all have these thoughts about our bodies that we just don't think it's enough. And so we go, I'm a 5. I wish I was a 10. Or maybe it's opportunity. And you're like, I got pretty good opportunities, but I'd like to have more opportunities. I know you don't think this is true about like pastors. Pastors would never do this because like we're supposed to be holy. I'm not, but you probably know. And so I see other people get other opportunities sometimes. And I think, well, why did they call that no talent clown? I could have done better than they do. Why didn't they call me for that opportunity? And probably people are watching me going, well, why did they call that no talent clown? And ask him, well, I could do better than that guy's doing. And we want opportunities. I don't know what your career field is, but you're probably thinking, I haven't arrived quite yet. I still want more and better opportunities. And when we see other people get the opportunities we wanted, we feel like, oh, I need to get that. Maybe it is your car or your home, you know. Maybe your car is a 6 and your home is a 3 because your car is a 6, you know. And you're, you know, I don't know. Maybe you got a 10 and so you had to get a 1. I don't know what your story is. And then education, you know, maybe you got a pretty good education, but you hear about people who got like went Ivy League. And you're like, well, I got Ivy League. That was me. Like, I went to like some small private Christian school, right? But I got offers from Ivy League. And there's something in me that every time that someone's like, where'd you go to school? I'm like, Taylor University, which is an awesome school. It's a really cool school. I love that school. But there's something in me that's like, I know people haven't really heard of it. And so I want to be like, but I got offers from Ivy League, you know, so to run track. So, I mean, I just chose not to. What is that? Like, I just want people to know, well, I could have been a 9, you know, like, so stupid, but we do it, you know, like, and then like our faith, you know, you ever heard somebody pray and they're like a really good prayer and you're standing in the circle next to them, you're like, oh my gosh, it's a saint, you know, you're just thinking, I am like a 2, I thought I was a 4, I mean, I'm a 2 now, look at this guy, you know, this lady, she's amazing. Or fun, you know, you look at like your Instagram grid. If you don't know what a grid is, right now you're thinking you wish you were cool enough to know what a grid is. But you look at your Instagram grid, you know, it's the pictures and the way they flow. And you're, you know, you're looking at all, and this is what we do now. We sit around, we flip up and we scroll up. And we're looking at everybody's adventurous lives. And you're thinking, I'm sitting here on this toilet. You know, this is like, this is all I'm doing. Scrolling up here. My life stinks, literally, compared to these people. My life is no fun. You know, that's like how we look at life now. Like, I'm like a 6, you know, and then our style, you know, sometimes you're like, I just don't feel like my style is good, or some of you are hot, you know, whatever. I mean, my team literally pulls up old pictures of me from Facebook to make fun of what I used to wear. Like, look what you wore. I'm like, shut up, you weren't even alive yet. So, and popularity, you know, like everything's about social status now and how we fit on this, especially for students in the room, you know, and then relationships, you know, you're like, sometimes you feel like you're at a 4, maybe you're not married you want to be, or you're married and you wish you weren't, or you're married to somebody and you see somebody else's marriage and you're like, ah, why do they have such a great marriage and ours is just, you know, like you're like thinking, why didn't I pick one of those? You know, like when your relationship's not good, you think it should be better. And then maybe you see somebody that has some talent, you're like, I got some talent, but I wish I was better and I see the talent they have and I wish I had that life. And we begin to believe that the answer to our discontentment in life is found in having something that we don't yet have. That if I could just reach a 10 in all those categories, if I could get to 10 status, then I would finally be happy. And we believe this is a real thing. We believe that I could be a 10 in looks, opportunity. In fact, this is what we believe celebrities are. This is why everybody's mad at the Biebs, you know? He's like, you guys, everyone's like, you guys are 10s. You're all 10s. And you're saying your life's not as good. Well, I think what he's saying is even if we are 10s, this isn't even real. Because you get to 10, you want 11. You get to 11, you want 12. And you can't even do this. This isn't even possible. Now, here's the reality of it. No matter how much you get, the most like popular person, the greatest person, there's nothing wrong with having all this stuff. But even the best people still ask themselves, what else do I need? And there's nothing wrong with being attractive. Nothing wrong with having nice cars. Nothing wrong with, you know, having a home that's great, nothing wrong with having success and opportunity and talent and all of that. But if we begin to believe that reaching the pinnacle in all these areas is what will bring us contentment, we're going to be on a never-ending chase that will always leave us wanting and leave us lacking contentment, because there is no such thing as arriving at enough. I mean, they had it right in The Greatest Showman, didn't they? Sing it with me if you know it. Towers of gold, still too little. These hands could hold the world, but it'll never be. I said sing it with me. Never be enough. Never be enough for me. Sing it with me. Never enough. Never. No, I don't even know it. You guys were no help at all. My wife told me not to do that. So anyway. But it's never enough. There's never enough because have never satisfies. Have is never satisfied. Never will be, never can be. Have is never satisfied. And so we stab in the dark at contentment, hoping we could find it somewhere, oftentimes living our whole lives never finding it. How do I become content? And so this morning I want to take just a second. I want to talk about, well, how do you become content? I mean, how do you get that? Where does that come from? Because wouldn't it be nice to find it? I mean, we run so hard and so fast trying to keep up with everyone and trying to make our lives content, oftentimes getting to the end of it, realizing that wasn't even the answer. I get tired of it, honestly, and I got to be honest with you, I want students who are moving on to college, I want them to chase contentment, not stuff. Because contentment, there's freedom there. In contentment, you find freedom from the comparison trap. You find freedom from the self-loathing and the self-hatred and the depression and the anxiety and the discouragement that is has riddled our young people. That's destroying their ability to even function. And we can run from that and all of that comparison stuff, and we can find contentment that leads to freedom. Wouldn't it be nice if we could find it? But where is it hiding? If it's not in our stuff, if it's not in our success, if it's not in our adventures, if it's not in our opinions that other people have of us, if it's not our popularity, if it's not in like rising above the cream of the crop and being the best in our education, where is it hiding? It seems like it's hiding because so many cannot find contentment. And so this morning I want to take us to a passage of Scripture that's pretty common. I want to take a look at it and I want to see if we can uncover something that might help us all discover where contentment is found. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 to 13. Some of it's going to sound really familiar for you. Philippians is a letter that was written by a guy named Paul. Paul was in prison as he was writing this letter. He was one of the early adopters of the following of Jesus. He had a conversion moment, and he would go around telling people about how to follow Jesus, and he went to a city called Philippi. He started a little church there, and Philippians was written later to the people of Philippi to teach them what it meant to follow Jesus because they were fairly new at the whole thing. And so Paul writes this letter to help them. It had no chapters when he wrote it. We added the chapters so that we could kind of organize it and tell people where this is and find stuff in it. But this is Philippians chapter 4. It's towards the end of the letter, and he has just thanked them for being generous. So he's thanking them for being generous towards him. So we'll pick it up in verse 10. It says this in verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. In other words, hey, thank you. That made me feel really good that you guys gave to me and you thought about me. You made me feel good about that. But I want to teach you something too. He says this. He says, but I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Now, he's writing this from prison, and his readers would have known that. You know, somebody delivered the letter to them, would have told them, and most of them probably couldn't have read. So somebody's reading this out loud, and maybe they're leaning in, and they're going, okay, this is Paul. He's saying that, you know, we know he's in prison. He's writing to us. What's he saying? He's saying, okay, thanks for the gift, but you don't have need. What? You don't have need? How do you not have need? Of course you have need. You're in prison. How could you not have need? And then he says, I can be content whatever the circumstances. And it's like, wait, how'd that happen? You know, these people are just like us. I mean, they're thinking, they're looking at their own lives, comparing their lives, seeing how well they're doing, you know. I don't know how they did it. Maybe they were like, well, your donkey is nicer than my donkey, you know, which if you follow that joke through, that's funny. But, you know, I think they're probably a lot like us, wondering whether or not they have contentment, where they can find contentment, if they have enough, if it's found somewhere. And so I'm sure they're leaning in going, wait, whatever the circumstances, you can be content. Tell me more about that. And so Paul goes on, he says this. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. He's setting them up. He's saying, some of you, as you read this, you've got a lot. Some of you, as you read this, you've got a little. I've been in both situations. I just want you to know the secret to contentment is available for both parties. Whether you have a little or you have a lot. See, I've been in both, and I've learned a secret. I've learned a secret about being content. I know what it is to be content in either situation. So whoever's reading, whoever's in the room, you too can be content. He goes on to say this, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He says, I've learned. Now, if you learned something, it means it took some time. There was probably some failure along the way. Paul is probably older as he writes this. And so he has been through those seasons where he thought, well, having a lot will be what makes me content. Or having a little is going to make me not content. And he's saying, I've learned. I'm older. I've learned some things about it. And not only have I learned it, but I learned a secret. Now, secrets are difficult to figure out sometimes. Have you all ever done an escape room, one of those things before? I'm terrible at them. Like, I go into it thinking I'm going to be awesome, and then I'm terrible because it's all these secrets you have to uncover. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't know how this relates. I'm like, did we find a key yet? That's all I need to know. Like, is there a key that we can open something? And then even you call for a clue. I don't know if you've done this. You call for a clue, and they give you a clue, and they're like, well, look at the thing next to the thing. And I'm like, I don't see either of those things. I have no idea what you're talking about. Your secret stinks. You know, like, I don't get it. And that's kind of what I feel like when I read this next thing, because Paul's saying, I have learned the secret of being content. And it's like, I just want to come out and be like, here it is. This is all you need to know to be content right here. And then we could go just be content. And then this is what he says, though. And I'm like, what? He says, I can do all things through Christ, through him who gives me strength. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. How is that the secret to being content? Like, I mean, I know we tattoo that on ourselves. I know that's like a life verse. Some of you have it on your body, like on your side or something. That hurts a lot. I mean, amazing that you do that. But I mean, we say this a lot, and it's true that God will give you strength, you know, to do the things of life. That's true. But if we're not careful, we miss the real original application from Paul here, that he's saying, hey, those of you who are listening, check this out. I know what it is to have a lot. I know what it is to have a little. Let me tell you the secret to being content. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Okay, what does that mean? Well, notice the first part in the buildup, he says this. I know what it is to have plenty. The verb is have. I know what it is to have plenty. I know what it is to have. And then when he gives a secret, he switches the verb. Look what he says. He says, I can do all things or all this through Christ who gives me strength. I can do. So he takes the have and turns it into a do. And really what I think he's saying is, hey, readers, I have learned to change my mindset about contentment, that contentment is not tied to have. Contentment is tied to do. Contentment is tied to what we do, not to what we have. And that's a change for me. I've learned that secret. And then he says all things, you know, and I don't think he means all things. You know what I mean? I mean, we sometimes overuse this verse a little bit, you know? Like, I can't fly off this stage and fly around here. I mean, I could do it once, but then that would be, I can't fly through this, you know, room. I can't do it. I can't turn myself into a tree. You know, that's not going to happen. I can't snap my fingers. I just want to be a tree. When I was in sixth grade, I had this red jacket, and I read a verse like this, and I was sitting in my house, and I was looking at the red jacket, and I was like, God, I read this verse today. You can do all things. Faith of mustard seed, you will change this jacket. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to pray. When I open my eyes, this jacket is going to be blue. I knew it was going to be blue. I knew it. I said, God, turn that jacket blue right now in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. I look up. It was red. I was like, this verse is bull. I was like, this didn't even work. I don't think he means all things, you know? I just don't. I mean, I can't play in the NBA. I can't even get a tryout, though. If someone's watching and you'd like to set that up just for fun, I'd be interested in that. I can't do all things. And some of you might say, well, if God wanted you to do all things, he could turn you into a tree. I'm okay, maybe, you know, maybe. But I don't think that's what Paul is saying. I think what he's saying is I can do all of this that God's called me to. I can handle all that he gives me because of the strength that God gives me. And the secret to being content is not worrying about what I have, but worrying about what he's called me to do. In Paul's case, he said, right now I'm in prison for him. That's what I'm going through. And I can go through that because that's what he's called me to. He will give me the strength to do it. I can do all of this that he has called me to with his strength. That's the secret of being content. You see, the secret of being content is being in a relationship with a God where you would say, hey, God, it's Tuesday. What are we doing today? What do you have me doing today? Where are we going today? What are we doing today? A trusting relationship where you say, God, this is as much your life as my life. And whatever you call me to do, I'm in on doing that. He actually, maybe to boil it down, maybe it would sound like this. We should be more concerned with his leading than our having. See, because it doesn't say that you shouldn't have. Paul never said, hey, I've had a lot and that's bad. No. Having's going to come and go. And you can have a lot. That's cool. That's awesome. It's really cool. But we should be more concerned with his leading than our having. We just have to make sure that have isn't overdue. That do has got to be more important than have in our lives, because do is critical. Marquis said that I've been a student pastor for 15 years in the area, and I have been. And I have driven many students home and to their houses all around this town. And I have been tempted by the trappings of this life. There have been many times as a student pastor I've thought to myself, I need to get out of this gig and do something that makes some real money. You know? I mean, I've driven around this place and I've thought, what do these people do? I could do what they do. I don't know what they're doing, but looks like they're doing pretty well. I'd like to do whatever that is, you know? I mean, I didn't make that up for this moment to tell you a joke. I've literally said that many times. That's like confession. I was like, I need to quit. And then I watched myself like walk down a high school hallway, or hang out with a kid at Chick-fil-A, or feel the like tears welling up from. And my team calls me heartless because I just kind of move on from things, but I feel these tears welling up in my heart from places that I don't expect when I see a kid's life change, when I see a student in need, and I realize, no, this is what I'm called to do. This is my due. And I'm not saying it's yours. Not everybody's called to be a student pastor. Some of you would literally hate it. But I know it's mine, and I have to remind myself all the time, Darren, have just won't do. Have just won't do. Having won't do what I hope that it will do. It won't lead me to contentment. And having won't do what I'm called to do. It won't carry out the mission. So have just won't do. I cannot let have win. Even though have is screaming at me, you could have, you should have. I got to tell myself, have just won't do. And I know it's, it's challenging for us to elevate that, but I think it's true that have just won't do. Which we see this all the time in people who are passing away on their deathbed, right? Nobody ever talks about what they wish they would have had. No one ever says, man, I wish I'd have had more stuff. Wish I had a bigger boat. No, they talk about things they wish they would have done. I wish I would have spent more time. I wish I would have cared more. I wish I would have fixed that thing. I wish I'd have worked on that relationship. It's always about stuff you wish you would have done. Which, of course, begs the question, then what are we supposed to do? And I want to make something real clear before I give you a few things that I think that we can do. I want to make it real clear, if you've maybe had a bad church experience and you're like, oh, here comes the part where they're like, you guys need to read your Bible and pray or God's not going to be happy with you, you dirty little sinners, you know, like, if that's what you think is coming, you know, if that's what you've been told, these aren't dues to make God content. God is content. He's happy just the way he is. He's not up in heaven waiting for us, like, as soon as you guys start doing a few things, maybe we could get a little happier up here in heaven. That, he's content. He couldn't love you anymore. He couldn't love you any less. This is not a recipe for you to get God to move your direction. This is not a recipe for you to get God to start liking you because you did the right things. This is Paul telling the people how they can find contentment in life. It's actually a loving message from a loving God through his communicator saying, hey, people of earth, I know you're going to be tempted by the have, but it's the do that brings contentment. And you can do all that I've called you to, and I'll get you through with my strength. And so don't be fooled into thinking this is a list of do's that you have to do to make God happy. That's not this. This is for us so that we can be content. So I made a list of a few things that maybe you land in this category. Maybe I don't hit it. This isn't all things, of course. All things is a lot of things, but I thought of a few things that maybe your due is this. Maybe right now you're going through something difficult and endurance is your due, that you just need to continue to endure, and it's difficult, and God will get you through that through Christ. Maybe your due is raising your children with patience and joy, emphasis on patience. Maybe that's your due. That's just what you're supposed to do. Maybe you're a contractor or a builder and you build homes or something, or you build commercial real estate, and there are people around you who have never seen a contractor who really knows what God is like, and you get to show them what God's like. Maybe your due is to be a light in a place that needs a light. Maybe your due is to be a prayer warrior. Maybe you just pray. You are good at praying. You just keep praying. That's your due. Maybe your due is to be a teacher that brings positive attitude to a staff that's struggling because things are difficult at your school. Maybe your due is breaking up with that person who you know is not making you better. Oh, getting personal. Maybe your due is to call that person and ask somebody to extend forgiveness or to extend forgiveness or to give forgiveness. Maybe your due is living differently among your family to show somebody what God's really like. Maybe your due is to choose your family over your cell phone. Okay, Darren. That's enough. But maybe. Maybe your due is to get off of Facebook and get on the floor and play. Don't be real up there. Maybe your due is to be a part of like racial reconciliation and striving for unity in our community. That rhyme didn't mean to. Maybe your due is to confess an addiction. Get it off your chest. You've been feeling it for a while. Maybe your due is to make a ton of money and to make a difference with it. You guys are like, I'll do that one. Maybe your due is to get off. I already said that. Maybe it's just to go to counseling and work on your marriage and fulfill those vows. Make sure they're fulfilled. Maybe your due is to forgive yourself or someone else for not fulfilling some vows. Maybe there's forgiveness that needed, and you need to move on from bitterness and regret. Maybe it's to tell your children on a regular basis that you're proud of them, to get it out of your mouth that you're proud of them. Maybe for some of you, it's just to actually become proud of your children. I don't know what your due is, and I probably didn't hit everybody in the room. But I know that your contentment is never going to be found in chasing after a have. It'll be found when we discover the do that God's called us to do. For some of us, we have known God for a long time, and some of ours are just built in that it's just we're supposed to serve one another. That's our due. Our due is to be humble and to love our neighbor and to be kind and to share God's love with people and to love difficult people. Like, there's some things we're just supposed to do. And we've got to elevate the do over the have if we're going to find contentment. And for our seniors that have left the room but that were here earlier, we want to do something to make sure that they're taken care of as well. So I want to give everybody that wants to an opportunity to do something for them. Historically, at churches, once you're done with your high school career, we send you off to college and we say, hey guys, goodbye and good luck. And then they fail. And I told you last year, there was a book that I read that did some research that a large percentage of students will lose their faith within the first 2 weeks of college. In the first 2 weeks of college, this August, a large percentage, 50 or 60%, will walk away from the faith that they developed over 18 years at our church in the first 2 weeks of college. And for years, we just said goodbye and good luck. And we decided last year, that's not good enough. We're not doing that anymore as a church family. We're going to do something more than just say goodbye and good luck. We're going to go with you. And so out in the hallways on some boards, there are 250 pictures of high school students, graduates, with their name, their school that they're going to, and their contact information. And if you'd like to, you can grab one of those on your way out, and you can go with one of those students for the first semester of college. And what I mean by that is you can text them, you can tell them how you're praying for them, you can encourage them, you can send them stuff in the mail. But rather than just like me telling you how that goes, I wanted you guys to hear how that went. So I've got Trey and Ashley and Jason that are going to come up and tell us a little bit about how that happened for them last year. So give it up for Trey, Ashley, and Jason as they come up. Trey, where do you go to school?
Tennessee.
You go to Tennessee. That was one clap. It's too late. It's pity now. One clap for Trey. Listen, it's a tough crowd for Tennessee, you know. I mean, we're in Georgia, so we'll just leave that alone, okay? So, did you lose a bet? No, I'm kidding. So you went to Tennessee, and what happened? What did it feel like to have people encouraging you?
Yeah, so I guess it just started like August. I got a text from some people, and it was kind of awkward at first. Uh-huh. I got to be honest with you, but like, all of a sudden, it's like they sent me a care package. I'm like, well, this is really cool. And I got a second one. I'm like, well, this is even better now. Uh-huh. But no, it was constant. I did like weekly. I'd get a text from them, and they'd be involved. And it's funny, like I'm talking about college stuff. They probably don't even understand, but they cared. And that's a big thing as a freshman for someone to care and actually listen.
It's cool. Now, Trey, this is the first time y'all have met today.
Yeah.
It's the first time meeting. Yeah. So it's like a pen pal like coming together right now. How cool is that? So...
You can pass the mic on, Trey. Thanks. I know you also said that it meant a lot to you. Tell me a little bit. Give me back to Trey real quick. Sorry, that's my fault. Yeah, I botched that. But Trey, what did it mean to you? What did it feel like to know that somebody back home was caring?
Yeah. So like the common conversation, especially in college with kids at church and stuff, it's like, I love this church, but it's not like the one at home. You know, I'm like, well, you have no idea what I had at home. But the thing that I came to the conclusion of is like, this church isn't just a building. It's not like lights or cool music. This church is who sits in the seats. And the fact that, yeah, I'm at school, I'm 2.5 hours away, I still didn't lose what this church was. You know, I still had the community and someone investing in me. So.
That's cool. That's awesome. You can pass the mic. And so what exactly did y'all do, first of all? Like, what did you do?
Well, first of all, it was weird for us, too, because out of the gate, Trey asked for a plane ticket. Trey asked for a plane ticket to the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And that got weird fast.
Too much.
Right? Yeah,
too much.
Right, yeah.
Nice try, though.
It was simple. It was a group text, and we just said, how can we pray for you? Every now and then, checking in. Have you found a church? Have you found friends? And then, of course, we sent them some things as well. But, of course, Trey was responsive, and that makes it easy as well for us.
Yeah, that's super cool. Yeah. And so what did it feel like? Because I just told you all the other day, I called you, and I said, hey, that meant a lot to Trey. Would y'all come talk about that? What did it feel like for you to know that that meant a lot to the little thing that you did?
Yeah, well, we took some time to sit down and talk about that and just realize, looking back over it, what a blessing it is. Because we realized, you know, God just wrote us into the story of Trey's life. And we never would have known that he was going to do that, that we were going to have this opportunity to stand in the gap for him in prayer during exams and during this first few weeks. And I think we both knew that, you know, last year when Darren spoke and gave that really alarming statistic that he just gave here again today, as believers, we knew we couldn't let that happen. That's our responsibility too. And so we just went head on and said, whatever we can do, however we can pray for you. And the blessing is just in honoring God in that. And that makes us feel really good.
That's awesome. That's cool. Hey, give it up for them. Thank y'all. Y'all can head that way. So with a little bit of intentionality, we can go with them and we can make sure that these students who are leaving today are not just goodbye and good luck. And so we'd love for you to pick one up if you'd be interested in doing that. If you do grab one and you take one, a couple of ground rules. Number one, we've asked the students not to meet you anywhere other than the church. So if you're like, hey, want to go to Starbucks? Their answer is no, okay? So don't ask that. And students, we want you to know that if you get a text from someone that you don't know, you should respond to it, okay? So basic ground rules. But we would love for y'all to just pursue them and be a light for them and help them. That can be something that we can do as a church that we think will be give us a lot of contentment and a lot of joy. And so we'd love for you to do that. Don't make fun of me, but I always, when I land a message with my high school students, I try to think of some dumb, silly illustration to kind of help them take it with them. So I brought, I've got some Mountain Dew with me to kind of land this thing today. I know some of you are tired and you're like, I'll take one, please. But I've brought this Mountain Dew here. Thank you very much for the delivery, special delivery. Thank you very much. Excellent. Yeah. So I got this 24-pack right here. Does anybody have a birthday today that's close to me? Anybody got a birthday? Anybody in the room? You, a birthday?
Trey.
Trey, is your birthday today?
Yeah.
I didn't know. You didn't tell me. That's great. Yeah. You didn't know it was your birthday? Okay. Okay. You ready? You ready to catch it? Could you just pass these out to your section? Okay. You got it? Really? It's pretty heavy. I'm going to throw it. All right. Wait. He's so strong. He's a college kid. He's been working out. So, and I've got, actually, somebody, I'm going to give somebody a 2-liter, too, because some people, you just have more than other people, all right? So, anybody tired in the room this morning? You're just a little tired? Okay, right here on the corner. I'm going to give you that. There you go. All right, I don't want to throw it to you. I did last hour, got in trouble, so. And then I've got a 6-pack of 20-ounce bottles as well of Mountain Dew. Does anybody just feel like you deserve this? You'd like it? I'm kidding. Anybody want this over here? I haven't gone over here this way. Right there. Y'all come up. Could you pass that back to the lady in blue right back there? There you go. Thanks so much. Great. And then lastly, I have some minis because, you know, you just don't have as much. That's okay. So how about if I just throw this right there? There's a young lady right there. Y'all can come grab that. Little excitement, everybody. It's high school world, all right? So don't open that yet, all right? So for the rest of you, here's what I want you to do. If you didn't get a Mountain Dew and you're feeling left out right now, I really do want you to go this week and I want you to buy a Mountain Dew somewhere. I want you to buy it, and I want you to keep it somewhere close to you. I want you to keep it in your room, in your bathroom, someplace you're going to always be, in your car. Might get a little hot, might explode, but I want you to keep it close to you. And this week, as you go through life and you're tempted to think Amazon is the answer, having something is the answer, achieving something is the answer, getting something, if I could just have more, I want you to just look at that Mountain Dew, and I want you to remind yourself, it's not about have, I'm going to do the do. Huh? This week, I'm going to do the do. All right? So get you a Mountain Dew and remind yourself to do the do. Now, if you're watching online, you're thinking, well, I didn't get to play. We have a link for you. It's northpoint.org/something. Graduates, northpoint.org/graduates. We actually have a PDF of every name of every student, their first name, and then the schools that they're going to go to are represented as well. You can pick a name and you can begin to pray for those students as well. And so we want you to have a chance to do that. We don't want you to forget that next week we're not here. We're off for Memorial Weekend, right? But we do have a special message from Clay Scroggins that we'll be streaming live next Sunday that you can watch. So that's an important thing we'd love you to check out and make sure you don't miss. Okay, so let me pray for us and we'll dismiss you guys to go have a great day. God, we love you. We thank you for loving us. God, thanks for this message from someone like Paul who reminds us that, yeah, we can have a lot and we can have a little, but the secret to contentment is not tied to what we have. It's tied to what we do, and what we do as you call us to it, God. So help us to be content as we do what you call us to do. Help us this week to do what you call us to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks so much. Y'all have a great day.